Hello, I'm your host, Erin Gruwell, and welcome to the Freedom Writers Podcast. Today's show features my conversation with four of the amazing student authors of our new book, Dear Freedom Writer: Jaden Land from New York, Jaden Braddix from Georgia, Kelly Kovaleski from California, and Yaman Ahmed from Israel. We discuss what it feels like to be a Freedom Writer student author and how our student authors hope to spread the power of the pen. This episode is an eye-opening look into the minds of our talented student authors, and I hope it will leave you feeling enlightened and empowered to make a difference. So much has happened since the Freedom Writers and I first started gathering stories for our next book project. But 2 years and one pandemic later, our newest book, Dear Freedom Writer, is out in the world. And we are so excited to share with you more amazing stories from our spectacular student authors. At our book launch event in March of 2022, the Freedom Writers and I were thrilled to finally meet so many of the familiar faces we'd only seen online. It was incredible to see the powerful connections formed in Zoom 203 and how tight-knit our Freedom Writer family really is. It's hard to imagine that it's been nearly 2 months since we gathered together to launch the book in Long Beach. But in that time, I've been amazed by the network of support that our student authors have created for one another. In that spirit, I'm joined today by four of our stellar student authors to discuss everything Dear Freedom Writer, from the selection process to publication and beyond. Without further ado, here is my conversation with four spectacular student authors of Dear Freedom Writer. Jaden, through the course of this interview, since we have two Jadens, we're going to refer to you as Jay. So Jay, you were actually the very first student author we selected. And after we selected you, you had the amazing yet daunting task of helping us select 49 other student authors across the globe. So thanks to you, the others on this podcast today, Yaman from Israel, Kelly from California, and the other Jaden from New York were selected by your help. And we dubbed you as our Freedom Writer Author Ambassador. And what was it like to be dubbed a Freedom Writer Author Ambassador?
So it was kind of weird at first, because I was already kind of doing what I do now before getting the title, like reaching out to the students already. To me, it just means to just to be real with them, just to be there for them, to be their bigger brother, to tell them like what's going on, just to keep them amped up, to keep them going, just to keep them motivated.
You know, everything you just said is often what doesn't happen in other relationships at school. And so you were able to do in this space of Zoom what teachers would love to be able to do when they're teaching a class. So how were you able to accomplish that, to be real, to be a brother and sister, and to keep people amped and motivated?
I didn't know I wanted to, but I always wanted to be in this position to be able to, you know, have all these people to talk to. What feels like unlimited people to talk to, like every day.
So Jaden Land, we met you in your hometown of Sequoia, New York. And when the Freedom Writers first met you in person, there was such a connection with the Freedom Writers that at our hotel that night, they all talked about you specifically. And they used terms like, she's one of us. She's a Freedom Writer. So what does being part of this Freedom Writer family mean to someone at the time who was in middle school?
When I was in like middle school, I did not have like a lot of friends or really anyone who I was really considered like one of us, actually. So it was like really cool to me to actually be considered by someone who I had looked up to at the time to be considered one of us, because I didn't really have anyone back then.
Speaking of one of us, Kelly, I have known about you longer than you've known about us. Your amazing middle school teacher, Ken Williams, was in the very first group of Freedom Writer teachers who were selected. And this wonderful, wonderful teacher, Ken Williams, has been talking about you for the better part of forever. And now that you're in high school, it's amazing to see you blossom and develop and become such an incredible storyteller. So what was it like for you to know that one of the original Freedom Writer teachers handpicked you?
So I had him for English in like social studies for eighth grade. And he actually would incorporate the Anne Frank story into what we did in class. So instead of starting off with like our normal work every period, we would start out with writing in a diary, just like Anne Frank would. And he would notice that I would always have something to say. And then something just happened to me one day and he was like, and his family was really close with mine. So I think he just thought I was like a good candidate for it.
Spectacular candidate. And even more so after the writing process, which we'll talk about later, you're so present and so intentional for every single one of these authors. And I think that's an amazing gift. So Jay, what was it like when you came to California for the book launch and suddenly were face to face with all of these people you had seen on a screen on Zoom? So you saw Freedom Writer teachers for the first time, and then all of these student authors from all of these different states and countries and continents.
It was surreal, because when I got there, the very first people that I met, and they're in this exact call right now, were Kelly and Yaman. Like, those were the first people that I met. So it's ironic that they're here, like in here too.
You know, sometimes when a baby's born, the first person they see, they imprint. And even they've done experiments with animals. If they don't have their mom, whoever is there and that maternal or paternal figure is imprinted. So maybe Kelly and Yaman immediately were imprinted for you as your first family members.
I guess you could say that. I guess you could, because like when I first got there, when we were first checking in, your mom like came up right behind me. I saw him, I hugged him, and then Kelly was right beside him. And she was a lot shorter than I thought she would be. But there's nothing wrong with that, though.
I'm just going to cut right in and just say, it was weird. It was honestly weird to just see the same person that I've been communicating to over the entire, the other side of the world for around a half a year or something like that. And after like a few months being promised that you're going to see him in person and then actually being able to touch him, being able to talk to him, maybe even share a meal with him. That was a very odd time for me. And it was spectacular.
I love all these words, odd, weird, spectacular. You're right. It's the extremes. I think oftentimes with freedom writers, we've had very low lows and very high highs. And I think this process of writing a book together is odd and weird and wonderful and spectacular, all kind of rolled into one. So Jane, let's go back to those extremes. You are one of us, and your teacher, Mrs. P, says, we've got this project. It's the middle of a pandemic, and everything that you had shared with your teacher, suddenly you were going to share anonymously with the world. Was that scary? Was that liberating?
So at first it was like, oh my God, I'm going to be a freedom writer and all this. And then it suddenly hit. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm actually going to be like writing down what I went through. And that was like kind of horrifying at first. Because like I was ashamed of like everything I had gone through for a long time. But after like talking with Miss P and my mom, they told me like I had a story that needed to be heard. And once it actually like, got in my head that that was true, then it was just like, wow, my story is going to be out there to like help other kids who have gone through what I went through. So now it's just like amazing to think that I could be helping like kids anywhere.
If you guys humor me, I don't know, Jaden, if you read the foreword, but I mentioned you in the foreword, and I want to find that part about you and I want to read it. So just humor me as I read this. The book made people feel bullyproof. The first student author we selected for Dear Freedom Writer is on the autism spectrum and had been bullied, ignored, or discarded his entire educational career. His mother attended our teacher training, and rather than have her leave her teenage son in her hotel room, we asked him to join us. The Freedom Writers quickly came to love him as one of their own, and it was painful to say goodbye. Goodbyes feel too formal, too permanent, so we adopted the salutation, see you later. When the later became Zoom 203, his smile lit up the screen. He was ready to share his story. It was time for him to pay his good fortune forward to all the students who, too, were ready to write. He was so ready to welcome 49 others into the fold that we dubbed him our Freedom Writer Author Ambassador. He took his role seriously, and we reveled as he greeted each student, praised their work, and sent encouraging emojis in the chat rooms. He helped his brothers and sisters brainstorm, write, and edit their stories. When it was his turn to share his story with the other authors, many were shocked to learn that our enthusiastic reader had gone through most of his childhood without friends, not a single friend. When he was a child, his diagnosis of Asperger's, which he nicknamed Asperger's, often pulled him into resource rooms, which made him feel different and be treated differently. Kids were cruel, and tragically, no compassionate teacher was there to intervene. His mom shared with me that during those dark days, she used to say a prayer with him every single morning. "Dear God, please help my son to be a good friend and to have good friends. Amen." In our sacred space, the community we created, it felt as though that prayer was finally answered. His mother recently told me, "You all are the beautiful extended family that he always hoped and prayed to have. He made it for lost time by creating the classroom he always wanted, the relationships he always needed, and the family he always deserved." And I can't believe I made it through without sobbing. So how does that sound that you are part of my introduction to Dear Freedom Writer? Before people even dive in to their stories, it feels to me like a prayer was answered. But I want to know from your perspective, do you mind sharing with the audience a little bit about what your story is about?
My story is Asperger's. I believe it's number 5 in the book, but it's not how Asperger's is normally spelled. It's A-S-S and burgers, like the food burgers. And I titled it that because when I was younger, when my mom told me I was diagnosed with it, I would always just joke around on myself and say that it was titled that. But my story is very light, and it was much easier to write about my past and not having that many friends. And I guess you could say that my story does have a good ending, because in my story, I did find the friend that I lost, and it's also a happy ending because I met you guys and I was able to do what I always wanted to do and have like an unlimited amount of people to be able to come to whenever I need to talk about something with, and for me to be able to be the shoulder to cry on whenever there's something going on with them, or for me to be the one for them to come to whenever something good happens to them. And I learned about a lot of new things through all 49 of my fellow authors. So it's like a learning process too, along with it.
Kelly, what happened with you student authors, which also happened with Freedom Writers, it's all the stuff that comes after sharing. So what was that like to suddenly be in a room with a lot of your fellow student authors and people took away that anonymous story and said, "This is my story"? What was it like for you to be in those spaces with your fellow authors?
It was really awesome because people in my school, if I were to even say something that happened to me, they would judge me. And when the second I stepped foot in the hotel, the first person I met was Yaman, and he gave me like a handshake. I do remember just trying to really grasp everything that was happening. And I knew that there would only be 4 days and it would go by really fast. And I just tried to take advantage of every second I could with people. And there was one time where I was in someone's hotel room and my mom had called me and she was like, "I'm going to get you, blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "I'm not going to see these people for a really long time. And like, I feel very safe and comfortable with them. And these people, I've only known them for 2 or 3 days now. And they're my best friends already. And I just get along with them so well. We have so much in common." And after I read all their stories after the book launch, it didn't change any part of me of like what I thought about them. And like, I still saw them as the same people I saw before I saw what they went through.
I was sitting with a student author And her phone just kept dinging. And unbeknownst to me, there's this beautiful thread that all the student authors had created without us adults. And it was just this outpouring of love. So Yaman, you're part of this outpouring of love. You have all these brothers and sisters from states, cities, countries, and continents. What's it like to wake up in the morning and on this thread to be showered with love by folks who are no longer strangers? They are literally the family of your choosing, the family of your making.
Well, to be frank, it's great. You open your phone, you want to see what time it is. Next thing you see on WhatsApp, you see like, love you, how you doing, guys? You want to hang on Zoom, you want to do something later. And it's not just like one guy saying it, it's a whole group chat saying it. Seeing that does put a smile probably on all of our faces.
Even with this podcast, is Jaden Land is in New York. Jaden Braddox is in Georgia. You are in Israel, and Kelly and I are here in California. So what is that like, Jaden? You are 3,000 miles away from Kelly here in California. You are thousands of miles away from Yaman in Israel. What is it like for you to be able to connect with somebody from another state or another country?
It's definitely different than what I'm used to having someone like around here, but it's great because no matter what time it is now, say I need someone to talk to and it's like 3 a.m. and everyone who's sleeping, it's only midnight for Kelly. So I'll just be like, yo, Kelly, I know you're up. And then we can...
Feeling you're speaking autobiographically that there's been some midnight chats with Kelly.
Couple here, couple there. Sometimes it's just, I miss my friends and we'll just get on like a Zoom or something and just have fun and just miss each other because we wish we were all together to goof off. But it's still the fact that we can just hop on at some random time, whether we're in good moods or bad moods, and we'll all always leave the call in a good mood. Mm.
Jay, I feel like you stand up for everybody. I feel like you treat everybody with equity and equality. And I love that about you, that what you didn't receive in elementary school, middle school, and high school is what you are paying forward to the world with this project. And so when you sat down to write your story, were you excited? Were you scared? What was your feelings about having your story out in the world?
I'm excited. I wasn't scared at all. Honestly, I was not scared because I want people to know what my story is. I want them to know so that they know that I'm here to talk to them if they're ever feeling the same way. And same thing goes for people who are just like me, who have Asperger's and autism that are on the spectrum. I want them to know that I am here and that, you know, I made it through high school in one piece. And I want them to know that they can too.
Kelly, what I have loved about the process of this book is we don't think we could have done it if it wasn't for the pandemic, if it wasn't for the introduction of Zoom into all of our lives. And so what was that like for you to be in the middle of a pandemic, to be picked by a beloved Freedom Rider teacher, and then to be nurtured through this process? And now you're the person who's nurturing others.
Well, at first my teacher was like, hey, do you want to be in a book? And I was like, yes. And then I didn't know it was about, we had to like go on Zoom calls and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I'm already drained from a whole year of Zoom. I can't do this anymore. My head hurts. My eyes hurt. They sting. But like, as soon as I started like going into the process, I was like, wait, I actually have a lot to say because I'm always like really into like writing. But there was a point in time where I was like in a process of moving into this house. And I remember just being so exhausted from that. School was about to start up again. And I was on a Zoom call getting my story edited. And my eyes were like literally closing. I hadn't gotten sleep that day. I was just so exhausted and tired. And I thought that I was giving up in that moment. But then I think it was one or two more rounds of editing. And then I just pushed through. And then they were like, you're done. And then I was like, wow, that was so worth it.
You know, I think every teacher, especially those that teach writing, love that all of you were committed to the process. So for you, Yaman, your first draft and your last draft had the same theme, but you were really experimental in your first draft. Someone who knows the rules breaks the rules. And your writing was like sensory overload in a good way because you came out the gate
and you could feel your personality with every word that you chose. So what was that like when you were getting feedback and you were resisting?
It was because I wanted to show what it truly feels like with no filter, with nothing. I wanted people to think kind of what a person feels in this moment. Here's the thing. My personality was and it still is kind of a wild one. And I'm not even sure what my personality is. I'm not sure if it's a jester or a joker or just an absolute idiot. But this is my personality and I'll run with it. So I wanted to show exactly what came up to mind first. I wrote down what came to my mind first, and that was my first draft. I was telling the people about what was going on in my life, telling people how small things can affect people, even the smallest pebbles in life, those little rocks that you get in your shoes, combined all together. It will just make a huge rock that will be a big weight on your back.
You know, for all of you, you had been aware of suicide as early as elementary school. You know, I think as adults and teachers, we want to shield young people and parents want to shield young people from understanding suicide and suicide ideation. So even though none of your stories out the gate were about the theme of suicide, so many stories in this book, including the four of you, touched on that. And I think for us adults, that was one of those moments that we thought, oh, we're onto something in the midst of a pandemic where people are more depressed, have more anxiety. And there's the knowledge of suicide ideation that these students have not been shielded from that. So I want to go to you, Jane, with that, you know, your story didn't start out to be as deep and dark as it was. And your story, I believe, has a beautiful, happy ending because it's a story about your evolution and your journey. But that journey has been hard and it has had some twists and turns. So for you to sit down and to show the entire journey, what was that like for you as a writer to say, I'm going to boldly go to a place that I have not gone before?
I think like when I put it down at first, I was a little nervous because like a lot of parents, like if they see like there's a mention of suicide or something like that, they'll be like, my kid isn't reading this and they don't want the kid to read it. But I was more proud when I ended up mentioning that in my story because there are people that need to see it more than be shielded from it to know like this happens like in your kids' lives and just shielding them from it. They're still going to have thoughts. They're still going to know what it is. So the fact that I was able to put it down on paper, to put it out, to like show people there is a happy ending after hardship, that I was proud I was able to put that in my story.
Kelly, you know, in the original Freedom Writer's Diary and the versions that came afterwards, the original one in 1999 only had a singular story that referenced suicide. And in the 20th anniversary edition, there was a secondary story that mentions suicide. And sadly, in Dear Freedom Writer, it's mentioned a lot. So what do you think it is about your generation that talks more openly about suicide ideation than generations that came before you?
I think that since there's so many things that were like more hidden and like uncommon, as this happens more and more, people are like, oh, something's wrong. Like May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So I think that people know that suicide is something that happens in everyone's lifetime. I feel like every single person is probably going to lose at least one person to suicide. And I feel like it ties in with like a lot of our stories because a lot of things that happen to us can make us feel like we're alone, especially when it's just now being talked about and it hasn't been an ongoing thing that's being solved rather than being ignored.
Iman, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And for us to be able to talk about that and have courageous conversations was not something that happened when I went to school, when the Freedom Writers went to school. It wasn't part of our curriculum then. It's becoming part of our curriculum now. But there was something I noticed for you, Yaman, in your original drafts of your story. There was this feeling that I am alone. And there was a feeling in the words that you use that people didn't understand you. And what I have loved watching is you have found your people. They do understand you and they do not judge you. And what is that like to find your people and to know, even though there was some dark moments in your past, that you are now in a safe space that is judgment-free?
Truly, to know that it is relaxing. It's a place where I can feel at ease, a place where despair can't reach me and hope is the only thing that shines brighter than the sun. I can't really describe it in any other way. It's just that hope.
Jaden, I think the Freedom Writers had a pinch me moment when they realized their book was being taught. Like their book was like curriculum. And so what does it feel like to know that Dear Freedom Writer is now being taught, that people have Dear Freedom Writer on a desk, an assignment on a chalkboard or a whiteboard, and people are writing about stories that you and student authors wrote?
It's honestly like really surreal. Like when I first got text from SP saying like, oh, you've been chosen to write in this book, I was like, oh, cool. Like I'm going to be in a book. But I don't think it really sunk in like the real severity of like, I'm going to be like taught to kids and stuff. And then it really hit me a couple weeks ago because Miss Purrington actually told me she was going to already start teaching Dear Freedom Writer in her class already. And I gave her permission to tell the students what entry was mine. And then they all started texting me saying, oh my God, we read your entry. It was so like great. I really connected to this part. And I have all these like sixth graders feeling comfortable to come to me about things that they weren't comfortable to come to other people about. So now it's like, I'm really seeing how much I'm helping people.
Kelly, for you, the same question. Your book has already been taught at the University of San Diego. Your book has already been taught at Waldorf University. There's a college in New York that is buying 10,000 copies of the book for the fall reading. How weird and wonderful is that, that your book is being taught not only to sweet sixth graders in Sequoia, New York, but like graduate students and college students are going to be dissecting your book, your story in colleges around the globe.
I think that everyone to a certain extent can relate to most of the stories. I think it's probably going to be most surreal though for like my own teacher to teach what I wrote because he did guide me through the process. And I'm going to be honest, there are some people that I have told the book about, just close friends. They think it's really cool, but I did share it out loud in class to one of my teachers because he is like a new teacher and he teaches the Freedom Writers podcast. He has it like a little module on Canvas and everyone can go to it. And he like already is into that and like he has no connection with it at all. It's just something that he's genuinely interested in. So whenever I got the chance to tell him and give him my book and I highlighted my name and I signed it for him, it was just like, he almost cried. I took a picture of him like almost crying, but we actually did something in class called like a mock interview and you would walk out and there would be a section of like three students who would ask you questions and everyone had like a mock interview sort of. And whenever someone asked me, what is an experience you have learned from? I had mentioned this experience and how writing this book and then meeting the people in the book helped me not judge people for what they went through. Because after I learned their stories, it didn't change how I felt about them. And I'm going to say that there were a lot of kids in the class that laughed about how I wrote a book. So that kind of made me feel a little bit bad, but there's always going to be people who judge you.
There's a cliche that a prophet is never appreciated in their own backyard. And I know for a long time when the Freedom Writers were nervous to talk about the book in Long Beach, when we went to Bosnia-Herzegovina to visit the author Zlata Filipovic, she was really shy and intimidated to talk about her international bestseller book, Zlata's Diary in Sarajevo, because she, you know, oftentimes in your own backyard, people aren't ready for you to be an author. They're not ready for you to be an activist. So I think we just got to get you on a plane, Kelly, and you could be a really big deal in New York and a really big deal in Israel. How does that sound?
Oh, yeah.
Jaden, what has it been like to to pick up a book that is bound that you can get at a bookstore or online to turn to your story and read it now that it is bound. And it's one thing to conceive it in your head. It's another thing to put it on a keyboard. It's another thing to see it on a screen. But once the book was bound and it's a real book, what was that like the first time you picked up the book, turned to your letter, and you saw it in black and white?
The first time I got it was that night in California. We all got our books for the first time, and I grabbed it. I was like, oh my God, where's mine? I know what letter it is. I got to find it. And the second I actually like saw it, I was like, I saw my entry in black and white. I'm like, this is like real. Like it's an actual thing now, because it hadn't really like clicked like fully that it was a real thing. And then I like saw the actual like my words in a full book, and I was like, oh, this is like real. And that's when it was like just wow.
Kelly, for you, there was 500 books that you student authors signed. I think it took like 3 hours on the day that the book was released on March 29th. Did you get carpal tunnel? Did you get tired of signing books, or was that a thrill?
It went by a lot faster. I was like, oh, signing books is going to take a long time. I'm just going to have fun with my friends. Like I was sitting next to Tori and we were singing Party of the USA by Miley Cyrus. And we were just like having like a really good time. And then David, he was rapping Eminem, and like, it was just a great time. And then, but like, I couldn't even choose a signature. Like I had like kept practicing. I was like, should I do this one? Should I do that one? I don't know. But like, I had to like make like a whole new signature. And I was just like, hey, how are you? Trying to make small talk with like all the people who were like in line. And I felt really famous. And I was like, oh my God. And then like, no, I didn't get tired, but I was like kind of getting really sad by the end of it, because I was like, wow, that like literally went by in 5 minutes, and it was actually just 2 hours. Like, wow. It went by way faster, and it was just really fun. And like, I would do it 1,000 times over again.
Yaman, I have a question for you on the book signing. A lot of people signed their names on the very front page of the book. And some of the authors, even though the stories are anonymous, they opened up the book and they signed their name on their actual letter that's in the book. And some wanted to be anonymous and some didn't. So I'm just curious, what was that like for you as an author to be in this row of student authors and seeing those who chose to sign anonymously and those who declared, this is my story?
Well, I'm the person who started it. I literally just started writing my name on each one of my letters to everybody. And that it doesn't matter if I'm anonymous or not. It's what matters is that you learn from this letter something. I don't need you to know who I am. I need you to understand something from this. To know that even though you know me on a personal level, anonymously or not, I don't care. I just want you guys to learn that, please, for the love of God, change something.
So taking what Yaman just said, please, for the love of God, change something. Jaden, what would be something that you would change?
I actually just talked about this with Ms. Pringley the other day. The main thing like I want to change is get rid of all the stigma around like mental health or talking about racism and LGBTQ like issues. Like get rid of the stigma around it and stop acting like they're all taboo subjects, and actually sit down with kids and talk to them about these things and have an open conversation and not just keep everything so like hush hush.
Kelly, for you, if for the love of God, what would you change?
I don't think that there should be any judgments to like anything you want to talk about, because everyone goes through different things and they all fight their own battles, but I feel like they're all equal. I feel like there should be open conversation with every single subject, because like the more that you talk about it, the more normal it will become. And then everyone will have a chance to open up to someone and feel safe and feel like their problems matter, to the point where if they are considering doing something to themselves or to someone else, like they'll know that it's okay and that they're not judged, and that it's okay to take your time with healing, however long it takes.
Mm. Yaman, what does healing look like to you?
You ever shattered a vase? Somebody tries to glue it back together and it dries up. And that is healing to me, it drying up. But if you don't put in the effort of covering it up, as in painting over the glue, as in working on the healing, it'll just look ugly. As in, it will look very obvious that you are hurt. So, as much as I hate to admit it, healing isn't just a matter of time. You also have to pull some weight.
Yaman, that's a beautiful analogy of the glue. And I feel that the student authors have become the glue or the glaze for some broken vases that you guys have come together and are really trying to make it not be a place of being ugly, but something that's really beautiful.
Even turn the vase back into something beautiful again, or make it more beautiful. Who knows?
For all of you, one of the hard realities of Dear Freedom Writer was at some point, some teacher, some board member, some parent might try to ban Dear Freedom Writer. So Jay, what would it be like for you if you found out in this very politically divisive time that some parent or politician tried to burn, ban, or censor Dear Freedom Writer?
I kind of see it as a good thing in a way, because the human brain naturally wants what we can't have. And so when they try to take something away from you, that being Dear Freedom Writer, your brain is going to automatically want it even more than you did before when you could easily have gotten it. That's just how human brain works. So in a way, it's kind of, and it's a, in a weird way, it's a good thing, because they're going to be, you know, rebels and figure out what's going on in this book. And then they're going to find the help. You know what I mean?
I love that. Critical thinkers, rebels who are critical thinkers. Kelly, what would that feel like to know that someone would want to ban your book from being read?
I think that if they're trying to do that, it's obviously making them mad for some sort of reason. They want to think that, oh, everything's fine, everything's normal, the world we live in is perfect, they don't want any of these problems. But whenever they all get shut down to the point where it's no longer actually normal, you're making it worse. I went to Barnes & Noble. We went to the back and got the books. And then there was a table of the banned books. And I was thinking of putting it on there so that it's more like drawn attention to. Because just because the book is on the banned shelf doesn't mean it's a bad book. It just means that there's subjects that are more sensitive and obviously make people angry for different reasons.
Well, that reminds me of our hometown hero celebration. We want all of you in your own backyards to be celebrated, whether it's in known bookstore or a small independent store. So Jaden, I know that your school is going to celebrate you as a hometown hero on June 4th. So you're going to get a lot more people in a gymnasium than you would into a bookstore. So what does that feel like that you're going to be celebrated in your hometown as a hero, as an author, and as an activist?
It's definitely like really cool. Like how many kids at the school are already saying like, oh, I'm going to be there. I can't wait to like hear you read your entry in front of everybody. And like a bunch of kids at the middle school are helping us put this event together. So it's definitely cool to see how many kids are like excited about it and how many kids are like so open to hearing about everything. And it's just really cool how open everyone is becoming, because a lot of kids weren't open to all this stuff before they found out I was in the book.
Yaman, for a lot of the hometown heroes that are part of your student author family, they're going to have virtual events. And I already envision, even if it's like 4 o'clock in the morning in Israel, that you're going to be a part of that. So I know there's a hometown hero event with our dear Jasmine, who happens to be blind. And I envision, even if it's in the middle of the night, that you will be there. So explain to our audience why you're willing to tune in virtually at any time of the day or night.
One of the reasons is that you'll always I always want to be there for somebody. So even if there's like an entire group, I always want to be part of that group to even help with any of the minimalist thing I can. The second reason is I honestly just enjoy being with you guys. And the third reason, I'm a night owl, so I really don't sleep. I really don't.
Jay, if you could give this book as a gift to somebody, who would you give it to and why? And what kind of gift would you hope it would be to them?
I would give it to all kids in middle school, especially eighth grade. During that grade, especially, you're starting to figure yourself out, figuring out what your identity is, who your clique at the school is, like what stuff you're into, whether or not you still, you know, like the stuff that you did when you were younger, whether you still want to be best friends with that friend that you hung out with every day, or you rather be with the cool kids, like all that stuff. Like you're figuring out yourself. And I feel like that age range is perfect for this book because it covers all circles of being adolescent and being at that vulnerable age where you're figuring yourself out and you either don't know you need help or you don't know how to ask for help. And with this book, it could be that help, or it could lead to you getting the courage or figuring out that you do need help. That's what this book was. And essentially, it was made for a lot of reasons, but that's one of the biggest reasons. And I feel like that's going to have the biggest impact whenever some guy or girl or whatever picks up the book and they find themselves in it and they find the perfect story for them, whatever they're going through. Because there's 50 stories in the book, like 50 stories, 50 responses. So they're going to connect to one story.
And Jaden, if you could give a gift to the next generation in the way that the Freedom Riders came to your school in Sequoia and gave you a gift, at some point you get to go to someone's school and give them a gift. What is that gift that you would give to the next generation?
I think the gift I'd want to give to the next generation is the ability to just be yourself around people. Like, you guys gave me the gift of being able to just be who I was without judgment. And I think that's what I like needed at that time. So I definitely think that's the gift I'd want to give to future generations of like kids or even young adults who don't like feel like they can be who they really are. And I'd like to make it so they could be their true self.
I'm so grateful to our student authors for sharing with us the beauty of camaraderie and the power of the pen. My dear listeners, may we build and maintain lasting connections with one another. May we encourage others to pursue their pride and their passion. And in honor of the authors of Dear Freedom Writer, may we all strive to give voice to the voiceless. That concludes our show this week. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and thank you for being part of the Freedom Writer family. If you'd like to learn more about our new book, Dear Freedom Writer, Stories of Hardship and Hope from the Next Generation, please go to the episode description in your podcast app and click on the links in your show notes. Once again, I'm your host, Erin Gruwell. This episode was produced and edited by Matt Martin Hall and Rob Falk. Until next time, dear listeners, may you write what needs to be written and tell what needs to be told.